Blog Talk Radio.
Which art in hell hallowed be, thy name.
Franklin, doing the Lord's Prayer for us. I think she did a pretty decent job. You know, she might have learned a thing or two in her career. Yeah, she might have learned a thing or two about gospel in her career. Maybe. Oh, today, you know, it's a roller coaster. Such is life.
Did you get a few things done today?
No. I got nothing done.
Well, listen, I have a niece and my daughter's here, and she and I were up, like, all night watching movies.
Yeah, it's like you don't do anything at night when you're waking up either, but that don't mean you do anything during the day because you start sleeping. I start napping. I have to work tonight. So today is a day when I get as many naps in as I can because I got to be awake all night. So,
right.
No, nothing gets done. And I sit there and I think about, well, I can start packing this or I could pack that or I could move this box. I've got a bunch of boxes stored under the bed. So I could move the boxes out. And it's like, why?
You probably just needed a rest.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, see, my thing is I hit, and I'm trying not to do this because I'm trying to trust in God to just take care of it and do what it needs to be done. But the thing is, I'm not going to push it either. I'm not going to push everything because the deal is something happened and the friend I had coming over helping me pack and do all this kind of stuff, something happened. He had to move. So he's gone. He and his wife are gone. And so it's like, okay, I got to do it myself. I'll do it myself. That much less arguing because I don't have to tell him I don't want that in that box with those things because I will never find it again. It doesn't go there. No? Well, you have to put it there. I don't care what you want. It's not your, you know, all of these arguments going all the time. And that's not going to happen anymore. So that's a good thing. God took care of that because I was praying that, you know, this is not a good situation and I don't want to hurt his feelings by telling him to bug off, but I can't do this much more. And and I was saying, Lord, you know I can't handle this much more because I'm just going to bop him over the head with a 2x4 if it keeps going on. And well, God took care of it. So it's up to me now, but that's okay because I can go as fast. You know, why do I have to hurry? I don't even have a flipping house yet. I don't have to be in any hurry. I don't have to be in any hurry. And that bothers me too. So, you know, I one way or the other, I'm just all bothered. It's one of those situations where... Well, and I'm trying awful hard to trust in the Lord for it to come together, and I pray more than one time a day to, you know, Lord, you gotta help me with this because I'm having trouble here. I'm having trouble letting go of this and letting you do it. You gotta help me with this now. So he puts me to sleep. I mean, you know, that's the only way I can figure it because I'm taking more naps now than I ever have, and I just figure that's one way of dealing with it. You deal with the stress, you go to sleep. You don't have the stress when you're sleeping. And but it sure don't help the stress when you wake up and realize you haven't done anything.
Well, no. I guess we'll all go through that to a point at times in our lives, but it's not going to solve the problem for sure. But
it's not going to change it.
With the rest too. You know, your stress goes pretty high with this
continuation
of property.
Well, the continuation of that plus trying to deal with not hurting my friend's feelings, but at the same time trying to let him know to back off. It's my stuff. Let's do it my way. That causes a lot of stress, too, because you care about this person. You don't want to hurt their feelings, but at the same time you want to tell them to go jump in the lake. Well, we don't have a lake, so, hey, you know, go jump in the desert. I don't know. What do you tell somebody? Anyway. But it's, in a way, there's a lot less stress. In a way, there's a lot more because I'm continuing the search. And sometimes I just want to give up. I just want to bag it.
Well, you can't do that.
But
you just
I can't because the alternative is to stay here in this little tiny trailer that is driving me insane. And I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Arizona is not someplace I can continue to live. It's just, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing I ever, at this rate, it might be the last thing I ever do. But anyway, so that's where that is. But I've branched off into a couple of different avenues as far as finding a home. And that is, I'm starting to check out foreclosures. And I'm starting to check into buying a lot of land and setting it up to put a new manufactured home on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm finding out that in Georgia, that's pretty easy. You're not regulated up one side and down the other and encased in a cocoon. They want you to do it. They, you know, set up to be permanent homes. And there's the only requirement, a permanent foundation. You know what a permanent foundation is in Georgia? You put shorings, which is like pier blocks and leveling mechanisms under the trailer to make sure everything's level and sturdy and steady, and then you take the axles off completely and you tie it down. That's a permanent foundation. You don't have to sit it on concrete. Yeah, you don't have to sit on concrete.
No.
Each pier block is on each pier block is on like a paver block, cement block.
Right.
That's all you gotta do. Like, shoot, I've had every single mobile home I've ever owned was set up that way. That was on permanent foundation. Well, wish I'd known that earlier. Okay. But yeah. So I'm finding out things aren't going to be so difficult. I just have to find somebody that will finance the home land package. And usually your mobile home dealers have people that will do that.
They do.
I just have to keep my cost point under control. And the iffy part of that is setting up the lot with the sewer, electric, water, and phone.
Yeah.
That's mostly where that problem comes in. So, heck, I've handled that twice already. I should be able to do it again. So here we go. Hey.
Here you go. Well,
why not? You know, why not? I've got a lot of wonderful gospel music for us today. John just he sent me a lot of stuff this morning. It was beautiful. I was almost out of stuff. And then he came through. We got enough stuff
that's
for
wonderful.
Probably
you
two
know,
shows.
You know my daughter brought me. She brought me, it's a cassette. But I have a player, all of Ellis's gold records.
Oh.
Awesome.
Lovely.
Isn't that great? Yeah,
that's
she's really cool. She goes to state sales and stuff all the time. She ran across that and picked it up for me. And I thought, wow, this is great to have all these in one cassette.
That's awesome, yeah. And you just put that on and put it on repeat, and you're set for the day.
Well,
there we go.
Yeah.
Why not?
So anyway,
okay, let's start playing some good stuff because we all need to feel a bit better about our lives at this point in time. There's always something we need some support and we need to feel better about. So here we're going. This is going to be gospel song. Give to Jesus, He will carry you. And it's by Life Breakthrough Music.
Jesus, all your sorrows.
Remember, and I know I have trouble remembering that. So we always have to remember just to fork it over. We don't have to hold it. We don't have to try and control it. But we do. We hang on to everything and we try to make it work and we try to make it, push it through this pace and push that through to our way. And it just don't work that way. I don't know how many times I've figured that out in the past 2 months, but man, but you do get to a point where you finally say, well, I'm not accomplishing anything. I'm not making anything work. I'm not making anything go forward. I'm not doing anything to further the situation. I'm just kind of standing in place and spinning my wheels. And at that point, you realize it's because you've been trying to control it and make it happen instead of bowing to what the Father is wanting for you. And maybe it's not going to be exactly the same thing you've got in mind. That's why I start thinking of different avenues rather than just flat out buying a house. Maybe just straight out buying a house isn't going to work for me. Maybe that's not what the Father wants me to be doing. So whatever comes through, I figure whatever comes through to be the easiest to accomplish is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm taking it in a couple of different directions because trying to buy a house outright sure ain't working. So,
Well, don't give up on the tent idea.
Exactly. Hey, I thought about that last night. I really did. I thought about that and thought, you know, you could work with pine boughs and stuff, and you could probably have a pretty decent place to live when you get that all enclosed in and get stuff inside,
yeah,
get
yeah.
it working. You could, because you can get those huge house-sized tents,
yeah.
you know, like they used to use in the
yeah.
Army.
With
you know, like big old canvas.
Right.
And I love
you know,
the way
Jenny, don't rule this out. You know, realtors also can sell mobile homes.
Yeah.
So,
but
keep that in mind.
It has to, in order to get, well, maybe the realtor will know better for the Georgia area. I don't know much about Georgia area. I know that
right.
in Arizona, it's nearly impossible to get a used mobile home financed. You almost always have to pay cash outright.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's unless it's 5 years old or less, it has
yeah,
to be. It has to be a newer. Yeah, it has to be a newer one. Nobody will finance an older used manufactured home. So, even though it's on the property and has been rolled into being real estate, which classes it as an actual house, they still don't like to finance it. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how Georgia is yet. That's something I need to check on. All I know is I don't want to live in a mobile home park. I can't afford to make a payment on a house and make a lot payment as well. I can't do that.
Right.
So I'm going to be checking and seeing if I can find something on its own land that's in financeable condition. There's a big question lately.
Yeah.
And just see what happens. You know, it's if you've got four or five different things working, something's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to pick one of those and say, okay, let's go this route.
Yes.
And as long as you're willing to follow through, it's going to be fine.
Hmm.
So I just have to relinquish control, which I've not been doing. I've been trying to have my finger on the pulse and control every aspect of it, and I need to give that up and not do that.
Well, that's
so
mean, it's, yeah.
Oh, I don't think that's the only thing, because I don't want
to
work anymore.
It doesn't help. But, you know, let someone else help you out.
Yeah, exactly. And a major stress point is not having my friend here trying to do things his way when I don't want it done his way, you know, because that was a major stress point. It's kind of like, man... if I had ever married this dude, I would have had to kill him. So it was a good thing. It was a good thing. Yeah, we weren't ever able to do that. That was good. Oh, you know. So, anyway, I just got a message from a realtor about one of the properties I asked about, and she says, well, I didn't pull it. It's like, no, duh, so do it.
Oh,
oh, my gosh. See, it's really hard to give up control and let other people do their part. You know, but I'm having
right.
to do that. And it's kind of like, you know, where you ask a realtor to check on this, goes, well, I didn't pull it. And it's like, well, I know that, so pull it. But I'm have to be nice. I can't say that. You know, it's not right to put my frustrations onto someone else. So that's
right.
something we find difficult as well as human beings. And we really need to police ourselves with it. I'm policing myself a lot lately. Don't put your frustrations over any situation onto someone else because they didn't do it. They're not causing it. And to be venting your frustrations on them is not right. So I'm learning about that one. I'm doing fairly decent as far as I can tell. Nobody's been mad at me, so, you know.
Well, that's good.
So I just have to keep that going, yeah. I just have to keep that going. Okay, it's time for an Elvis song. Oh, please. We need Elvis songs. I'm going to play, and this is actually at the heart of everything. It's not the most important thing, but you have to have this in order for anything else to work. You have to believe. You have to believe. And this is Elvis doing a song called I Believe.
I believe for every drop of rain falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come. I believe the storm's smallest prayer, can still be heard. I believe someone in the green somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear newborn baby cry to leave or see the sky, then I know why I believe.
Yeah, that's always been one of my favorites, and it's a really good reminder, you know, all the things that God can do and does that we can't do any of it, you know, but it's there because he can. And you should have seen some of the strange looks I used to get, because I used to walk home for lunch when I was in school and sixth grade, six blocks in the sixth grade, and I would sing this song while I was walking to and from school. You should have seen some of the weird looks I got.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, I thought it was hilarious. It was so totally funny. But I wonder if anybody remembers that. Oh, wouldn't that just be a kick in the pants?
Oh, I'm sure that did. Now that I tell her friends, you know, I used to see this girl coming down the sidewalk, and all she was doing was singing dolls.
And you do little dances on the sidewalk as you're going by, and you never see them, but you know all those windows are right there. I had more fun than I realized. Who would know? Okay, here's one that is—it's a new talent, evidently, because I have written down Psalm 51:7, which is where this comes from, but we don't have the name of an artist. And the song is called Whiter Than Snow.
To ransom my soul.
Yes. That's more than a hope. That's a promise. That's a promise we've all got. We have that promise through the Father's word. All we have to do is ask. And I always thought, as a kid, I thought it was funny that we could be washed in the blood of Jesus and be whiter than snow. But blood leaves a really bad, nasty-looking stain. But we could, you know, I had a real bad time with that. until a Sunday school teacher finally explained to me that it wasn't literal. It's like Jesus shed his blood for us. And that blood is what washes our sins away. It takes our sins away and leaves no stain. And because it takes our sins away, we are left pure, which is what being whiter than snow really means. And then I finally understood it. I finally understood it because, you know, a child's mind does not understand the way an adult's mind does. And when a child hears that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, but then you're whiter than snow, it does not make sense. A child's mind does not equate that. It does not make sense. Well, Mama keeps telling me not to have a nosebleed on my shirt because she can't get it out, not to rub grass stains on the knees. And a child doesn't understand that that's not really what it means. You know? Jesus shed his blood to wash away our sins. That's how we are washed in the blood. But when all that sin is taken out of our souls, we are left pure and fresh as a newborn lamb, which is whiter than snow. But as a child, I had to have it explained to me. I think I was 7 or 8. I had to have that explained to me because I did not understand it. So we have to kind of go through our messages as parents and aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, whatever it is. We have to go through our understanding and say, okay, I've got this little nephew, or I've got this little sister, or I've, you know, these children in church, in Sunday school, how can I explain this so that they will understand? And that's what we need to do, is to help them understand what the symbolism means, because they don't have the capability to grasp that symbolism yet. And it's up to us to help them understand. That's our responsibility. We don't always understand it. So when you're explaining something, make sure that you understand what you're explaining, because you could get them more mucked up than they really are. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to get them more confused. You're trying to clear that up. But some of this stuff needs explaining to the kids. The kids need help understanding these things. And once they understand them, hey, no problem. They just run with it, and it's great. But that confusion is very bad. It's like when I came to be a teenager, actually, and I would go to church, and I would listen to the preacher up there, and at that point, it was fire and brimstone, you know, preacher, all that stuff. I realized that I grew up asking for forgiveness of my sins out of fear. I was afraid of the Father. That oh, I told this little lie and he's going to send me to hell. I'm going to burn in hellfire for eternity. And I went to the Lord in fear. And that's not how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to scare our children into going to the Father, into going to Jesus' arms. We're not supposed to scare them into it. That's not right. They need to know that they're loved and welcomed. They don't need to fear hellfire and brimstone. I never truly agreed with preaching that when children were present. You know, it didn't matter why they were present. If they were in church with their parents or whatever, don't scare the children. And a lot of these fire and brimstone preachers, they want to scare us into God's obedience. Well, I'm sorry. I can't agree with that. That's not how it's supposed to work. The Father works through love and forgiveness and acceptance. He wants us to change our ways because of love and the hope of being in His presence for eternity in that love. Not because we're afraid of fire and brimstone. You know, there are people that have grown up in church here in fire and brimstone their whole life, and it doesn't deter them one little whit. They do it anyway. So what good does that do? All it does is scare children. You're going to accomplish more for the Father and for Jesus Christ by preaching about their love and understanding, forgiveness, and acceptance. That's what we need to be doing. Jesus said to suffer the little children to come unto me. And we're not supposed to get in their way. We're not supposed to do or say anything that makes them reluctant to crawl on Jesus' lap. So just make sure they understand about the love and the forgiveness and what the shedding of Jesus' blood was really all about. Because if we just leave them to their own devices, they are going to be scared spitless. And they're not going to understand. They're going to be afraid. We don't want our children to be afraid. And, hey, admit it. As new Christian adults, if all they hear is fire and brimstone, how long are they going to stay on Jesus' side? How long are they going to stay truthful to the Father? How long are they going to be telling people of the message of God's love and acceptance if they are scared to death because of that fire and brimstone preaching? New Christians it's like where is it? My goodness sakes, I've always hated this about my brain. It does not keep the citations with what the Bible says. But at any rate, the Bible says that when your child, they feed you on milk and pablum. You don't have meat until you get older. And that's as it is with God's word. You don't feed new Christians or young children fire and brimstone. That's like making them chaw on a cow's leg bone around the fire. And that's not it. It's not time for that. Only the mature Christians can eat the meat and get the message of that and not be afraid. So we have to be very aware of what we're feeding to the new Christians and to the children for them to understand about the love and the forgiveness and not be afraid. Don't come and ask for forgiveness out of fear. That's not what the Father wants. He wants us to come from love. You know, that's very important. I went the fear route, and that's not the way to do it. It took me so many more years to understand about the Father's love and what Jesus Christ's death really meant and what really happened and why, and that it was out of love, not fear. That was a long time coming for me, and that's why I'm letting you people know at this point, don't give the children a message of fear. Teach them about the love, the forgiveness, the compassion, the support, the caring. The fact that he's always there. And that's hard enough to remember. You know, really. We still try to control things. We try to take those reins and say, here, I can do it. No, we can't. I'm finding that out over and over and over again the last few months. But I'm trying. I'm still trying. You have to keep on trying because it's so worth it. Don't teach the children the fear of God. That's the old way. The Old Testament way is the fear of God. Teach them the New Testament way about the love that conquers all. The forgiveness that can be had for the asking. The washing that happens automatically when you ask for the forgiveness. It's so much better than the fire and brimstone fear. It just is, because when a child is taught fire and brimstone at the age of 6, they go to bed afraid every night and wake up and wonder, how are they going to be good enough that next day? You don't want your children to be that way. You want your children to just revel in the love, the forgiveness, the love, the acceptance, the comforting, the caring, knowing the Father's always there. That's what you want. And not just for children, human children, but all of the children of God. That's what we're supposed to have. Fear. Not fear. And that old saying of put the fear of God into them, oh, please don't do that. Don't do that. That's no way for anyone to have to live in fear. In fear. I'm going to play Sue's request from, was it last week or the week before? I don't even remember anymore. It's Elvis. I know. It's like, you know.
I've seen several and I never know when you're going to play them.
Well, honey, if you sent me more than 2 or 3, you may never hear the other ones because they get shuffled back, and I just don't have time to go look for them. So if you're sending me 4 and 5 and 6 songs at a time, you're only going to get 3 of them.
I send one for the show and one for Sunday.
And then 2 days later, you forget that you sent those, and you send me 3 more.
Right. My memory's gone. Maybe I'm having a blonde day.
Oh,
I don't know.
Honey, welcome to my world. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then I looked and I went, well, she already sent me something. And I said, oh, well, I'll play something. And if I remember the other ones, I'll play those next week. We'll see what happens. Carry on. So anyway, I know I got this one. I'm not sure if it was last Sunday or Sunday before, but I know I got it because I put it in my library when I got it. I just haven't had a chance to play it yet. So we're going to play it now. And
okay.
Elvis was never Catholic, and a rosary is definitely Catholic. You know,
yes.
They use that to count their prayers. And I've never been Catholic either, but I did have a best friend who was Catholic for a couple of years in grade school. So I learned a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you ask those stupid questions about why do you wear doilies on your head to go to church?
Well, I was living in Cedar Hill at one time and found the neatest little church to go to that was called an Angelic Catholic. And it was very interesting, very different to me. So I learned a lot, and I enjoyed it very much.
Good. See, that's what a church is supposed to be, no matter what the denomination. It's supposed to feed the souls of the people that go there without fear, without trappings, without worldly requirements on them, just to feed them the Word of God. That's how I feel about it, at any rate. And if you can get what they used to refer to as a holy roller church, hey, you got it made, honey, because those things are fun. I've been to one once. I was never able to go back, but I love it.
Oh,
I love it. And some of this music just reminds me of that. Yeah?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I went to some of those when my kids were smaller, and I even went to some because their friends went with them, and they're the ones that introduced my kids to it. And I would go over there on occasion, and, you know, they were just rocking and having a great time.
Yes, and they welcome everybody. That's what I love about it. They welcome everybody. And you have the freedom to just worship however God shoots it into your body. And I love that. I absolutely love that. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So at any rate, this is a song you sent me where Elvis sings Miracle of the Rosary.
Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to Thee. Thanks for the miracle of Your Rosary. Only You can hold back Your holy Son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand.
When you think about it, it's really sweet. It really does let you know that He's there. He's there. And it's fantastic. And that's what we forget about. That's what we forget about. So He's always there. We can always access Him just by talking to Him. And we forget that. We forget that. So we need to not forget that. See how that works? We just need to not do that. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Okay. I've been playing things that I had gotten from for previous shows, and now I'm going to start playing things that I've gotten for today. No, I take that back. I have one more to do from last week because this is just so awesome. This is a favorite of mine when Elvis does it. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Yeah.
I love the way he does that. That's just, all right, take my hand, lead me on, let's go. And he found that song done by Uncle Tebow. I have no idea. I don't know. But Uncle Tebow did Where Could I Go But to the Lord. So let's have some fun.
old sinful world hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Friends here are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is hard in spite of friends so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. But when I face that chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? There's nowhere to go but to the Lord.
Awesome.
That was lovely.
I like Elvis' version better, but that's nothing new.
That's
not
true.
Yeah.
So that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to play a favorite now.
Okay.
It's a favorite from mine from all the years I've gone to church, and I used to sing it as a solo because I never got to sing it in the church service. They never sang this in the church service when I grew up. And it's like, okay, bring it back. Bring it back. So I did it. You know, that's my solution to a lot of music. It's like, nobody's doing this. Okay, I'll do it. And that's how you guys ended up with a gospel show. But anyway, this is Elvis doing In the Garden.
And the joy we share.
never know. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing.
Something that I had never noticed before listening to this song, as many times as I've listened to this song, I just this time noticed the timpanis. Somebody's in the background with those big white mallets playing softly on the timpanis. It's so cool. It's wonderful. I never noticed that before. I wonder why I never noticed. Anyway, I heard the timpanis. Listen, next time I play that song, because it will happen again, listen for those timpanis, because you don't notice them usually unless you're listening for them. And they add a very wonderful soft bass beat behind, but it's not a rhythm beat. It enhances the beat to enhance the song. Listen for the you know what I'm talking, you know what timpanis are?
Yes.
Maybe I should ask that question. Okay. Yeah, those big they're not conical, but they have like that teardrop shape without the point at the bottom. And yeah, the big timpanis. Those are so cool. All right. Time to pick up this show. I've talked enough, and we've played a lot of great music, not enough. So let's start out with some really cool stuff, and then we'll use Elvis. Well, maybe not so much. He's got some moving stuff too. This is Pat Boone doing the gospel boogie. John sent this.
Well, now, everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be singing that story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Now listen, everybody, cause I'm talking to you. The Lord is the only one to carry you through. You better get ready, cause I'm telling you why. The Lord is a-coming from his throne on high. Now going down the valley, going one by one. We're gonna be rewarded for the things we've done. How are you gonna feel about the things you'll say on that judgment day? Well, everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be singing that story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Coming in the morning. Better get ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Now you get your Holy Bible in the back of the book. The book of Revelation is the place you look. If you understand it, and you can if you try, the Lord is a-coming from his throne on high.
by reading in the Bible on the things he said. He said he's coming back again to raise the dead. Are you gonna be among the chosen few, or will you make it through? Well, everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be singing that story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah, brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Well, everybody's gonna have religion and glory. Everybody's gonna be singing that story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah, brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there.
Now, just remember that. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there. Oh, yeah. He was giving us the warning. Be prepared, guys. It's not going to be all processional and staid. And, well, by S-T-A-I-D, you know, all proper and prim and proper and slow. Kick up your heels and go for it, guys. Just go for it. Yes. And here we've, oh, Sister Rosetta. Oh. Here you go, Ann. Yeah, Sister Rosetta. God is wonderful.
God is wonderful.
Wonderful.
He's King of Kings.
Comments on the chat. You're hilarious. I love it. It's fantastic. Okay. We got to play an Elvis song. We got to play an Elvis song. We got to play an Elvis song. So, come here. I'm looking for it. Where'd it go? Hello. There it is. Okay. And Elvis is going to tell us about working on the building.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstain, banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward, well I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation, I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord, well I never get tired of working on the building, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. Well, I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh, heavily in my reward. I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. Well, I'll never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh, oh, oh,
working on that building. It keeps needing repairs. Jeez. Maybe that's why I'm looking for a house. Oh, my goodness gosh, Jenny. Wash your mouth out, girl.
Hey, Jenny, you know, the other night when I was watching that biography, there was a segment where, you know, he and his quartet and all were singing all the gospel music in different places of his house and different places, and there was a saying that after they would finish a song, instead of clapping, you know, they would all just laugh. And I guess it was because they were all having a good time. Have y'all ever noticed that?
Laughing's good if it's appropriate. If you're going to laugh and nothing's funny, they're going to look at you really strange and have you carted away.
Right, but I found that interesting because I had not paid attention to that before seeing that the other night.
Well, that's good, though, you know? That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, laughing is always good. So you got to, if you can laugh appropriately, you have to put that word in there, you know. Do it, because it gets other people smiling. And smiling leads to laughing. And you got to do it. If you can make people smile, you know how precious that is?
Definitely.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that is a very big, big plus. And that's not something you can machinate. That's not something that you can put in a mix and have it come out like baking a cake. You know, you can't do it that way. It doesn't work that way. So if you have the knack and the talent to make people smile, just by being yourself, not by doing anything special, but by being yourself, that's a very, very good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, I have a song that I need to play because, don't get lost, because I promised Gwen. I thought I had played it last week, but she says I did not. So I don't know where my mind was or what it was doing, but I'm going to play it now. And I swear my brain is telling me I've played this, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. We can play it again. It's by Joseph Locke. He's a beautiful operatic baritone, and he's singing Bless This House. Again, since I can't remember. Oh, old age just kind of creeps up on you without you ever noticing it, doesn't it? My.
Creeps up on us all.
I wish it would stop creeping and just flat walk up and knock on the door, you know? Then I could slam the door in its face and say, go away, I ain't getting old. My mama told me that the other day. She says, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else says. I ain't getting old. I look older, and I am getting older each day, but I am not going to get old. I believe that, mama. I believe that. That's where I got it. It's your fault. She just laughed at me. She thought that was funny. She goes, good. At least you got something good from me.
Bless her.
Oh, mama. I miss my mama. I got to find a way to arrange a trip pretty soon. Anyway, we've got a lady called Caroline. And John sent this to me. John sent all of these songs to me that are not Elvis songs. He sent all of them to me. And I know I've been a little bit remiss about saying John sent it to me, so forgive me for that, John, but I want to let everybody know that anything that's not an Elvis song, John sent me.
Yes, brilliant. Got great taste.
And I want him to just keep doing that. Oh, yeah, because he finds things I would never find. And it's absolutely wonderful to be able to hear new music that I would never have gotten on my own. So thank you for just being you, John, and for doing that, because that kind of broadens everybody's horizons. Their musical horizons just get bigger, and that's fantastic. You always want to keep growing. So this is Caroline singing Gonna Rock Around the Clock with Jesus Tonight.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're gonna rock around the clock with Jesus tonight, yeah. We're gonna clap our hands and sing hallelujah once more.
We're gonna walk right up to heaven's land. We're gonna open up the door, we're gonna meet the Lamb. We're gonna rock around the clock with Jesus tonight. Yeah, we're gonna rock. We're gonna rock. We're gonna rock around the clock with Jesus tonight. We're gonna walk right up to heaven's land. We're gonna open up the door. We're gonna meet the man. We're gonna walk around the clock with Jesus tonight. See old Gabriel when he blows his horn. We're gonna shout and cry and fall upon our knees. Well, he'll be there to let us in. We're gonna walk those golden stairs again. We're gonna rock around the clock with Jesus tonight. Yeah, we're gonna rock. We're gonna rock. We're gonna rock around the clock with Jesus tonight. We're gonna walk right up to heaven's land. We're gonna open up the door. We're gonna meet the man. We're gonna rock around the clock with Jesus tonight.
Oh yeah. You know, you don't just rock around the clock. You rock around the clock with Jesus. Cool, huh? I love that.
Great song. I love it.
You know, I love the way John keeps broadening my musical horizons, because he does find songs that I never would otherwise find, hear, or know about. And here's one case in point, Merle Haggard. I thought that I had heard all Merle's songs. You know, working at a country station, you think you do, you know, but I was wrong. I was wrong, because working at a country station, you don't hear gospel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there was, with this video, was the picture of an album cover that had a lot of big country names on it, but it's a gospel album. That in itself did not surprise me. But here's one, a song that I never knew existed. And it's a wonderful song. It's Merle Haggard singing the Sermon on the Mount.
A man sat on a mountainside, a carpenter by trade, teaching his disciples while they knelt and prayed. He blessed the poor and simple, and he brought the mourner's joy. He came to heal the blind and lame, they came not to destroy. When smitten by his enemy, he turned the other cheek. He brought strength of God and morals to mortals who were weak. He told of false prophets who wore a sheep's disguise, and he warned us not to trust him or to listen to his lies. Hey, the Sermon on the Mountainside will live eternally. You lead us to the kingdom that he promised you and me. So take the straight and narrow and do good things that count. Make up your mind to live by the Sermon on the Mount.
Wow. brings back that story out of the Bible, doesn't it, that we've heard since we were 6 years old and just never paid much attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But this kind of brings it to the front to say, hey, you know, maybe you should think about this sometimes. This would be a good one to think about. And in the meantime, let's hear Elvis, The Bosom of Abraham, which I love.
Well, you rock my soul.
Down in the bosom of Abraham, you rock.
Down in the bosom
of Abraham, you rock my soul.
Down in the bosom
of Abraham, you rock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lordy, Lordy,
oh.
Moving.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, that you get into that and you're just never gonna want to quit. It's gonna keep rolling and rolling and rolling, and you're just not gonna want to stop. That's great. I love those songs. I love them. I love them. It's fantastic. Okay, I've got something now I want to play that's you think you know what it's gonna be. Because the title of the song is Nearer My God to Thee. So you think it's going to be this nice, slow, worshipful song of yearning, of I want to be closer to you. Boy, do I got a surprise for you. Here you go. Lower Lights, Nearer My God to Thee. Thank you, John.
Even though
cool, huh? I like that. John noticed there Calico was saying hi. She just really, whenever I'm in front of this computer and I'm either talking or singing, she's right in here wanting to be part of it. I was singing last night and I was trying to record something. I had to put her outside. Finally gave up.
She wanted to be on the X.
Oh, she wanted to be right here. I need to write in a part for her.
Aw, bless her.
And teach her how to sing. She's a funny old thing. She really is, but I love her to death. She's my baby. She's my kitty baby. Patchy's my puppy baby.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, woman? Anyway, you know, your pets get to be like your children.
Yes, they do.
And
yeah.
That's just how it is, and that's okay. I guess I need to deal with that because that's how it is. All right. How about Elvis singing Just a Closer Walk with Thee?
Yes, please.
In on it, just like Kitty wanted in on it. That's one thing you cannot control is when a kitty wants to meow, she's going to meow. That's just it. And when a baby wants to cry, that baby's going to cry.
Yeah.
You know, baby wants what baby wants. Ooh.
Yes.
I got to incorporate that somewhere. I have an idea of where. Yeah, I have an idea of where, but okay. It's
what?
Sunday, Jenny. Stop it.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, forgive me. You know I'm going to do it again, so, you know. And he does. He knows. Here is one that is the most important message.
Mm-hmm.
I think yes, and John mentioned this to me as well. It's one the most important message that the Father gave to us, and it is why. as Christ was sent to this earth. It's why we have the hope of eternal life. And I hope of eternal life because you have to accept it. It doesn't just automatically happen. You have to accept it. It's freely given if you ask. But this is Hillsong. And they're doing a song based on John 3:16. And that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not die, but shall have everlasting life."
For God so loved the world, come on, that he gave his only Son, and whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life.
You believe in God.
I shall hold to the cross. I shall hold to God alone, for his love has salvaged me. For his love has set me free.
For God.
For God. I shall wait upon the Lord, and I shall wait upon his word, and by his grace I am redeemed, and by his grace I am.
Oh, God, your love, don't ever believe will not perish. They shall have eternal life. Yes, they shall have eternal life.
Now, they did a great job, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure. Yeah, they did it in such a way that you had to listen. Once you started listening, you couldn't quit. You just had to keep listening. That's fantastic. I love when that happens because you know they're doing what they're supposed to be doing with it. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing by listening to it, and the song is doing what it was meant to do by giving its message. And I love that when all that comes together. You know, like A-Team. I love it when a plan comes together. You had to have watched A-Team. But anyway, and I did. As if you couldn't tell, right? Yeah, okay. I'm gonna play one now that I play a lot, but I don't care. Because we all love hearing it. We all need to hear it. And it's Elvis' favorite song. It's always been my favorite hymn ever since I was 7 and first learned it. And I think y'all know what it is. How Great Thou Art.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite. And it was never sung like that until he did it. You know, it was just a church hymn until he did it. And now people are putting interpretation into it and making it a beautiful gospel song instead of just a Sunday hymn. Mm. I think that's wonderful. I think that's absolutely fantastic. All right, here's another one that John sent me that it went too far. Can't do that, Jenny. Can't get it if you go that far. Here it is. This one has a message in it too, guys, and it goes along with John 3:16. The same one that God so loved the world. This one did not have an artist build with it. It's an unknown artist, maybe somebody new to recording and putting videos up. Who knows? But the song is great. John found it, sent it to me. This is You Must Be Born Again. About and everything. Okay. How about I was born about 10,000 years ago, and sometimes I feel like it. Oh, Lordy.
I saw Pharaoh's daughter bring Moses from the water. I licked the guy that says it isn't so. I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saved King David's life, and he offered me a wife. I said, now you're talking business, have a chair. Yeah, I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. Saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing ring around the roses. I licked a guy that says it isn't so. I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saw Pharaoh's daughter bring Moses from the water. I licked a guy that says it isn't so. I was there when old Noah built the ark. And I crawled in the window after dark. I saw Jonah eat the whale and dance with the lion's tail. And I crossed over Cana on a log. Yeah, I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saw Pharaoh's daughter bring Moses from the water. I licked the guy that says it isn't so. Yeah, I was born about 10,000 years ago. Yeah, there ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. Saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing ring around the roses. I licked the guy that says it isn't so. I was there when old Noah built the ark. And I crawled through the window after dark. I saw Jonah eat the whale and dance with the lion's tail. And I crossed over Canaan on a log. Yeah, I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. Yeah, I saw Pharaoh's daughter bring Moses from the water. I licked the guy that says it isn't so. I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. I saved King David's life, and he offered me a wife. I said, now you're talking business, I have a chair. I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know. Saw Peter, Paul, and Moses playing ring around the roses. I licked a guy that says it isn't so. I was born about 10,000 years ago. Ain't nothing in this world that I don't know.
Well, I ain't never going to say it isn't so. I wouldn't want to contradict him. Yes, I would. I mean, yeah, what am I saying? Of course I would contradict him. Oh, you know, that's been so much fun. And it's time to say goodbye until next time. Tomorrow is Monday, and I'm assuming if all things being equal, Shauna will have book club tomorrow. So be sure and tune in for that. You know, if I didn't have to work nights and I wasn't sleeping during her shows, I'd be there. Someday that's going to change. That's one of those reasons I want to get this move accomplished, because I can do more of what I want to do. And it'll be so much better. My life will be so much happier.
Sit down and
anyway.
Make your list and check them all. And have a good week and good luck with your new endeavor.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah. I got to find out. I got to find out. And I did get a message from the realtor. She is going to check on the foreclosure house for me tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that.
Good luck, okay.
2 acres, guys. 2 acres. 2 acres. And a three-bedroom house.
$50,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you don't have to mow the whole thing. You plant fruit trees and things like that. Let the grass grow. It's not a big deal. Just mow your yard.
You got
2 acres. You don't have no, and it's outside of town. If I want to put a couple of head of cattle on there, I can do that. They won't stop me because I'm not in the city limits. I'm outside the county, so that would be a fantastically perfect place for me to get. We shall see. Hey, honey, put a goat in the yard and you won't have to mow. There you go.
No, that's right.
Yep.
Maybe Tiny Tim will help.
Yes.
And if you make it a nanny goat, you got goat's milk. And then you can just have beef out in the pasture. You don't need to worry about milking a cow. Of course, a goat has to be milked just as often. It's just easier because it's littler. It eats less.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
I don't know.
Anyway, I enjoyed the show, Jenny, very much. Thank you. And thank you, John.
Yes. Thank you, John, for all of the wonderful music. And I've got one more I'm going to play from him going out. It's Ruby Joe doing Walk Them Golden Stairs. But before that, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. And chat room was quite active and quite hilarious today. It was funny. And, yeah, y'all that can't be in there ought to be sorry. Just how it is. But thanks, everybody, for coming in and listening to this today. And I want to say hi to Joyce because I'm suspecting she's listening today as well. And everybody that's clicking in on the links that I post in the groups, thank you for doing so. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. I hope you got some music that touched you. And listen to it over and over if you want to. That's what it's there for. Or go back and listen to any of the past shows as long as you want to. It's fantastic. And with my shows, there are two networks to listen to. There is the TCB network with the Gospel Hour and the Seldom Heard Elvis with Rock and Roll. And then on the TLC Radio Network, there is Thursday's show, which is Seldom Heard. Great Seldom Heard, yeah. Anyway, mine is the only program on there, so if you just go to the TLC Radio Network, pick anything you want to. I'm the only one there. And it's just good stuff, guys. It's just good stuff. You don't want to miss it. Get it any way you can. It'll satisfy your music cravings. There you go. Okay, I will see you on Thursday. Yeah. Shauna will be here tomorrow. So this is Ruby Joe doing Walk Them Golden Stairs. I know my Jesus. Hey, there you go, guys. Remember to walk them golden stairs and pay attention to your heart. I'll see y'all later. Bye.